The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
Let me tell you what, who deserves a shot in the United States heavyweight.
Let's hear it.
I'm the champion. I ought to know. You know, I've been sizing up guys since I came to the WCW. And I think the one guy that stands out the most, the guy that I think has earned a title shot, El Dandy, I think you're a heck of a wrestler. You're a great technician in the ring, and you're a jam-up guy. Whoa. I don't see any reason.
Wait a minute. El Dandy has been wrestling in the cruiserweight division here. Please.
He's a great wrestler.
He's a great wrestler, but thank goodness sakes, it's 50 pounds.
Who are you to doubt El Dandy? Because this guy's a serious professional.
Well, let's talk about some serious
professionals. How about hypnosis? Let's get to
psychosis.
Whatever. He's a great wrestler, you know.
No. Save it for Simi. Save it for Simi.
All right. In 3, 2, 1. Hello, and welcome to The Rawcast. I'm your host, Don DeLaRente, and I'm joined by my co-host, Mr. Mo to the underscore Reese. What's going on, Mo?
Ain't nothing. Just ready to chop it up.
All right, man. Same here. Ready to talk about this Monday Night Raw. Share our commentary with color right here on the Rawcast, which is a part of the Wrestlecast, which can be found on the CSPN by way of the web at cspn.us. You can also subscribe to the podcast through iTunes, SoundCloud, Spotify, Stitcher Radio. All you have to do is search the Wrestlecast dash the CSPN. Look for the logo that has the New Day holding the Wrestlecast sign, and you'll be subscribed to the Rawcast each and every week. All right, Mr. Mo to the underscore. We start with Randy Orton. We're informed that Drew is still not clear for Clash of Champions, but the match is signed nonetheless. Later on tonight, we're going to get Keith Lee versus Randy Orton again. And Michael Cole is on commentary this Monday because Tom Phillips is on quote-unquote vacation. Orton says that he'd hop through the hoops to get the title shot, and Hoppy did. He beat Kevin Owens, Seth Rollins, and Keith Lee. Yet, here he is, facing Keith Lee again. He tells Lee the more they cross paths, the more likely he is going to get kicked in the head. He speaks to Drew directly. He says WWE has stated that Orton versus McIntyre is set unless Drew and if Drew recovers in time. Orton kicked Drew in the head and broke his jaw. What do you do, Pontus Orton? What do you do when your champion can't defend the title at one pay-per-view where every title must be defended? He has an answer. Hand Randy Orton the WWE Championship. Sirens go off, and immediately I'm thinking, Big Papa Pump? But no, it's just an ambulance. Drew is driving it. Drew enters the ring and hits the ropes. Claymore to Orton. Out comes some refs trying to hold back Drew. So what do you think about that opening promo, Randy Orton talking that trash, and then here comes Drew and the old ambulance?
I mean, he was right about him and facing Keith Lee, so you know, definitely right. Keith Lee, I mean, Randy Orton was definitely just there to get Keith Lee over, but there's no real story there. It's just okay. You're on Raw, and we need somebody to put you over. Randy, do the job. Randy, okay, I'll do the job. Storyline goes and everything. But I said it was a good opening segment because, you know, I'm thinking like, okay, Drew's gonna be gone for another week, and you hear that siren go off, and I'm like, oh, you doing this story again, you know, wrestler come back in the ambulance, and that was that.
Backstage, MVP is walking backstage with the Hurt Business. They accost a janitor. Apparently, MVP heard the guy say something about Shelton's mama. And y'all know you don't be talking about Shelton's mama. Lashley chokes him up against the wall. Shelton knees the guy in the belly, then fixes his collar. Drew is backstage. Adam Pearce is waiting for Drew. Drew says, fractured jaw or not, he's here to kick Randy Orton's ass, come Clash of Champions. Pearce says Drew cannot wrestle, so he needs to leave the building. Now we have a 6-man tag, Bobby Lashley, MVP, and Shelton Benjamin, the Hurt Business, versus Apollo Crews, Cedric Alexander, and Ricochet.
Tag made, here comes Shelton Benjamin, former multi-time Intercontinental Champion, Tag Team Champion as well. MVP, former United States Champion. And the mouthpiece, so to speak, of the Hurt Business with a big boot. And down goes Apollo. Cover now by MVP. Hook to the leg, kick out as a Ricochet breaks things up for his team.
Look, clearly the career choice of Shelton Benjamin and Bobby Lashley to align themselves with MVP, it's worked. It's paid dividends. But it's not necessarily for everyone, like an Apollo Crews, like a Cedric Alexander.
Or like losers, Byron, like losers.
Okay.
I mean, there's no doubt Lashley's now the United States champion. Shelton Benjamin has had a career rejuvenated thanks to MVP.
Look at a guy like Apollo Crews, who rejuvenated his own career by winning the United States Championship. Cedric Alexander pinning the shoulders of MVP last week here on Raw.
Apollo desperately trying to make it to the corner and make a tag. MVP with a waist lock. And now, oh, what a German suplex. Shelton, ooh, with a kick right to the gut. And Shelton unloading to the corner on Apollo.
This is turning into a mugging, Michael Cole.
Yeah, it's a maul here. Being mauled is Apollo, and a cheap shot by Benjamin knocks Alexander off the apron.
Apollo somehow desperately has got to make a way to his
And Enziguri connecting now to Benjamin. This could be the opportunity that Apollo needs. And now Ricochet on the apron. Apollo trying to drag himself.
He needs to reach out there. Wait
a minute. Alexander's Ricochet's teammate.
What is Alexander doing?
Well, he's beating the hell out of Ricochet is what he's doing.
No, he's having an epiphany. Wait.
What are you doing? What the hell are you doing, man?
I can't make of what we just saw. I know Alexander.
Lumbar check to his teammate.
What is going on?
MVP is ecstatic.
And look at the smiles.
Apollo Crews is defenseless. He has no partners. And there is Pater by Shelton Benjamin.
Here are your winners. The team of MVP, United States Champion Bobby Lashley, and Shelton Benjamin.
And I believe Cedric Alexander has made the greatest decision of his career. I believe Cedric Alexander has finally seized his destiny.
Go ahead and say it. Which I know you've been itching to say this.
The game is finally soaked up.
Oh, man. As soon as this happened, I'm like, oh, I'm going to hear about this.
I told you Cedric was going to get tired of taking them ass whoopings every week. I told you. It was just a matter of time. I'm so happy for this man.
I know, and it was I kind of saw it coming because, you know, when they jumped him and he was going down, he like kind of telling, he kept saying he was okay. I was like, I said something's happening tonight. Seth's going to join, or he's just going to walk out on him and we're going to make him think that he's joining. But then everything came into play, and the rest that they say is history. And you see MVP, and they was happy. Even Big Swole was happy. She was like, that's right, babe. You get out there catering business. I was like, oh, the missus approves.
It's been a long, hard road for Cedric Alexander. He's taken quite a many beatdowns to get here. But it's not, you know, always about the journey. It's about the arrival. So he finally got here, and hopefully there's a lot of good things to come going forward as Cedric Alexander has become the fourth member of the Hurt Business. Threw some suits on him, make him like the Black Four Horsemen, give him some titles, tag team titles. Shelton and Cedric Alexander, tag team champions over the Street Profits.
Damn it, you took my prediction. I wanted to make that prediction.
Oh, my bad.
Well, at least we had the same. We had the same thought. I was thinking. I'm like, I said, you know what? I said I can see them, him, and Cedric and Shelton taking those titles off the Street Profits coming. It won't be at this one because Clash of Champions because, well, I don't know. It could be, but I don't know.
It might be a little too soon. They need that.
It might be a little bit too soon. I mean, it might be in October, maybe Survivor Series. I don't know, but it could happen. I can see it definitely happening. And that goal being in the Hurt Business is be you know, a lot. They have some gold up in that camp.
Some more gold because we got the United States champ.
Yeah, I said, yes, I'm saying some more gold. You know, they just be blinging with gold. You know,
that's right. So we return to Monday Night Raw, and the Street Profits are here. We are reminded that Retribution interrupted them last week. So then we have, for the 55th time this summer, Angel Garza and Andrade versus the Street Profits. Garza comes out by himself, then his buddy Andrade. Zelina Vega is beside Andrade. Andrade rocks right past Angel Garza, and so does Zelina. So Garza is being yelled at again by Zelina. Andrade yells at him from the ring. Zelina continues to admonish him. So Angel is like, I'm out. Andrade misses the knees in the corner. Spine buster from Dawkins. Tag to Ford. Spark splash in the pin and the win for the Street Profits. So first the Iconics break up. Then Sasha and Bayley break up. Now Andrade and Angel Garza break up
for the umpteenth time.
What is going on with the tag team divisions in WWE?
No clue. Like, they're just like, okay, we're gonna play this random breakup, and I don't know. I think I understand. The Iconics might be, but you might take that personal. But the Sasha and Bayley one, that really came out of nowhere, and it was just like, I mean, I know I was on SmackDown, but that was just crazy how that whole thing played out. And I'm just thinking like, okay, I'm like, yeah, they wrestling, they lost Nia and Shayna, and then next thing you know, Bayley just unloading on Sasha. And I was like, okay.
Yeah, man, it was nothing nice. It hurt my heart.
That was certainly a legendary beatdown. I mean, we've seen, you know, tag teams break up like this. I mean, now you're gonna say they're probably on the same wavelength as Jannetty jumping through the barbershop window, but it's right up there.
Stone Cold didn't even beat up Brian Pillman that bad, and they was best friends.
Nope.
So.
Yeah, but these tag team breakups, it's just something, you know, and, you know, now we want to see Andrade and Angel in singles competition again. Who knows? One more thing before we go on. Did you see the picture of Andrade and Charlotte looking like they fresh out of, like, if this was, they was filming Scarface 2, they both had like Lee and Rose in it.
Nah, I have to go check my Twitter.
Oh, I'm about to see if I can find a picture for you, but they was both looking fresh, like that cocaine white. They was just, I'm about to find it and send it to you.
I wonder how Daddy Rick thinks about all this.
Listen, you see Rick was giving him that game months ago. So, you know, you know, Sean was like, hey, you know, my dad gave me that game. You better listen.
That's true.
You know, but he didn't want to disappoint future pop in law.
That's true. Shinsuke and Cesaro, they show up. They're all dapper in their best attire, and they've showed up on Monday Night Raw because of the brand-to-brand invitational. Cesaro wants to have some words with the Street Profits. Cesaro is shocked to find out that they are the longest reigning champs of Monday Night Raw. Cesaro is sure no one cares because when people think of them, they think of basketball, golf, playing with ninjas. So Cesaro and Shinsuke challenge the Street Profits to a match next week. Shinsuke wants the smoke, but Dawkins says, copyright infringement, dog. He says they are more than a tag team, they are family. Montez Ford says they got a real bond, not like the Bar 2.0. Montez says Cesaro has had so many partners, he might want to get tested. Ford says next week it's champs versus champs and it's on. And they, in fact, want the... And Cesaro stops Montez Ford. And Shinsuke Nakamura says, smoke.
That was an interesting setup right there.
This could be a lot of fun. This tag team display between those four gentlemen. Cesaro yes. and Montez Ford in the same ring together. I'm pretty sure they're going to come up with some fantastical greatness.
I think it's another test for Montez Ford to see if he's truly going to be a star.
If he gets the Cesaro seal of approval, because Cesaro can go with anybody.
Yes.
I'll give you that litmus test. For sure.
Like, you know, they, like you've seen with Seth and pretty much, you know, other, like, wrestlers, you know, gave him the, especially with Seth, he had that one-on-one with Seth and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Cesaro, this is another test for him. So, Cesaro, you know, he get in the ring with Cesaro, and Cesaro, like, okay. You know. We see the chemistry. That boy, we put the... Put the rocket ship on that boy.
We're getting closer and closer to Dawkins getting that pink slip. The way the trend is headed.
Hey, that boy just been like Montez has been on one, and like he's really just been on one and just really shining in his matches and everything. So, you know. Anybody call him the Black HBK.
yeah, that's my dude. They hype Kevin Owens versus Aleister Black taking place in Raw Underground later in the show. Earlier in the day, R-Truth is having a dinner in a restaurant with his 24/7 title. Someone comes in and brings a table of dessert. The server removes the lid and reveals a ninja. In comes Akira, Tozawa, and a ref. R-Truth tosses the title to Little Jimmy. Little Jimmy dropped the title. R-Truth fights the ninjas off and runs out of the restaurant with one of the ninjas stuck in their dessert tray.
Man, when he said, you know, Little Jimmy catch, I said, oh, the bro. He showed him the pictures and everything. First, before that, he was showing him the pictures and everything of the title. I said, oh, man, bring Little Jimmy back.
Well, you know, R-Truth is finding new audiences. He's on, you know, he's hosting Raw Talk every week after Monday Night Raw. Jay to the Max is a big fan.
Has his own game show on the WWE Network.
Right. So,
like,
you
know. Like, he really had a nice career, you know. I mean, he's not in like the comedy role, so to speak, now, but he really came a long way since K-Quick.
He's a survivor when it comes to the WWE system, man.
Yeah. Like, he got let go, and then I remember when he showed up in TNA, he cut the promo there, and he had a nice little run in TNA. I think it was Jeff Hardy who got him back in the WWE. He vouched for him. I think it was like one of Jeff Hardy's runs. He vouched for R-Truth to come back. And R-Truth came back, and that's where he's been ever since.
I don't know how I'm going to get through this next match. Peyton Royce versus Billy Kay. Billy Kay is now known as a femme fatale. Peyton Royce hits a jumping kick. She then hits the spinning brain buster, aka the deja vu, to get the win over Billy Kay. Peyton Royce helps Billy up after the match, and Peyton gives her a big hug. And I guess this is the official breaking up of the Iconics.
Now, I'm thinking Peyton Royce was going to attack her, beat her down, and that'd be that. Because of what happened last week on Raw Underground when she threw in the thing with the other two girls.
Yeah, Marina Shafir and Jessamyn Duke.
Yeah, I'm thinking that was going to be a continuation of that, but they didn't do that this week. I mean, Peyton didn't lose the match either, so that kind of makes you happy with that, you know.
Yeah, but I'm still sad the Iconics broke up, though, man. I'm very sad about that. Rey Mysterio and his family, they're backstage. Murphy is pulling a rambling rabbit and watching from the shadows. Charlie then welcomes the Mysterio family to the ring. Charlie asks Rey for an update. He thanks her for having them all there tonight. Rey wanted closure against Seth, but that didn't happen. As for his triceps, he doesn't have a timetable yet, but he can't wait to come back in the ring and defeat Seth Rollins. Charlie asks Dom what it means to defend his family. He is interrupted by Murphy, who is on the Videotron. He wants answers to the question. Dom should feel awful. It was because of Dom that the one man that picked Murphy up when he was down turned his back on Murphy. It's because of Dom that Seth left him and wants nothing to do with him. Murphy sees clearly now, though. Dominic has a bright future, but the ultimate sacrifice will be to end it before it begins. Murphy wants a street fight tonight. Dom grabs the mic and tells Murphy that he's no worse than Seth, so tonight he's more than willing to embarrass him again in front of Seth, and he accepts. Murphy says that the Mysterio family is ringside, asks that the Mysterio family be ringside because it'll be the last match they will ever see Dominic in. Dominic warns Murphy that if he lays a hand on his family, he will no longer be able to breathe in or out.
Oh.
Damn.
Right.
Even though Murphy never threatened nobody in the fam, but I guess it was implied.
Right. He said, just let you know if you do touch him, that's going to be curtains for you.
Backstage, Shayna Baszler is wondering why she's got a handicap match tonight. Come to find out, it's Nia's fault for saying that Shayna could take on both members of the Riot Squad at once. Drew is backstage. He says he forgot his phone in the ambulance that he stole, but he has it in his hand, so now he's on his way out. Next up, Asuka and Mickey James, they tag team together against Lana and Natalya. Asuka tags herself in. Asuka then applies the Asuka lock to Lana. Mickey then slides in to stop Natalya. She hits the chick kick on Natalya, and Lana taps out. And your winners are Mickey James and Asuka.
So let's talk about Lana real quick.
Okay.
So it seems as if, I don't know how true this is, but the whole third party fallout is what's had because of her. Apparently she has some kind of deal on Instagram where she used her WWE name and likeness for the advertising some energy drinks. And since if they wanted to do a deal with the energy drink company in the future, this would be some direct competition and everything. So this is what they said, the reason why Vince came down with the whole you can't use your WWE name and likeness in like on Twitch, TikTok, etc. And then that kind of gave him some backlash, but then he kind of softened the stance and everything and said they had to use their real names and whatnot. And it's just kind of crazy, you know, it's like any kind of deal that comes up, they have to have their hand in it. I mean, I get it because, you know, hey, we want a slice of the pie. But just kind of like shut down the whole, that's like a second source of streaming for a lot of the wrestlers and everything. Like, you know, as David Woods has been doing the damn thing on YouTube, and other wrestlers have Twitch shows like AJ Styles, but he has one. And I think Randy Orton will be on Twitch as well too. A lot of them be using like the streaming service to interact with fans and things like that. So it was just like they said, it was like Lana and her Instagram deal that she had. She was doing stuff with Fashion Nova too.
Lana getting all the cake.
Right. Hey, listen, you know, she got to be the breadwinner, so she's trying to make, you know, all the extra money.
Bread.
Yeah. So that's what that whole thing, that's what like the noise from that stems from. And, you know, everyone like looking at Vince like like he's a bad man. Leave, and then I think that's what he changed.
Lana, though, to be the one to cause the controversy.
Yeah, so, but to get back to this match, kind of figured that she would be the one tapping out to Asuka. You know, she taking a loss. I don't know why she's in the storyline with Natalya, but.
Do you feel that this matchup between Asuka and Mickie James is going to be a good one? How do you feel about this championship match coming up next Monday night?
I'll say it was a good one because Mickie James is a veteran of the of wrestling in the company. So, you know, we should get, you know, a good match out of these two. I mean, we know Asuka's going to win. They're not going to take the title off of Mickie and put it on, Asuka and put it on Mickie. We know that's not happening. So, it should be a good one. You know, two veterans of the game. But it was a part of the match where I think Asuka did a little, when she sits up in the she sits up in the ropes, when she like, it was like she runs the ropes and then she sits in the middle, between the middle and the top of the middle rope.
Right.
And Mickie smacked on the ass, and somebody in the live tweet said, "That's so on brand for Mickie."
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, Yeah, we know, because we can't see what she did in that WrestleMania match against Trish Stratus on the WWE Network.
Yeah, that's a part of the stuff that they were like, "Oh, I don't think we can get away with this, boys, even on our own network." You know, that's bad.
That's a lot of stuff we can get away with, but not that.
That's bad. That's real bad. Yeah, I'm excited for the matchup, even though it's been like a quick kind of story, just kind of, hey, who wants to challenge me? Oh, I'm here, I'll challenge you, type of story. You know, Mickie James definitely is a veteran. Like you said, she knows how to deliver good quality matches. And if you can't have a good match with Asuka, then, yeah, you definitely shouldn't be challenged.
What are you doing? What are you doing? Hey, what are you doing in the business?
Right. So, good stuff there. Next week, championship match between those two ladies should be a lot of fun. MVP and Lashley hype Cedric up in the back. Shelton comes to Cedric and says, "Is this a game?" He will find out, and he will teach Cedric while they call themselves the Hurt Business.
I laughed at that. I kind of figured somebody was going to say, you know, this better not be no setup or nothing like that. And it was Shelton.
Not be that old Bush, Cedric.
Yeah. I think we're going to see Shelton and Cedric, you know, to like team up more after this. You know, this should be a good pairing down the road.
MVP has new music. Basically, it's like a Hurt Business theme, so it's pretty cool. Even though the old MVP music is like one of the best.
Yeah, Super Shocker was still getting a check.
Especially since they've been changing it to all this generic music here lately.
And right.
It's just been like, blah. So, but that's actually a pretty good one there. MVP is here to say that bones and bottles are the things that are popping. He says this is a special edition because this young man has made a career-changing decision. He says Cedric Alexander has joined the Hurt Business. MVP says his life changes from this day forward. Lashley hands him a t-shirt, and it's official. Cedric says he'll keep it short and sweet. Instead of being on the business end of a beatdown, he'd rather learn and he'd rather earn. MVP
told him. Hold on. Say that one more time.
He says he'd rather learn and he'd rather earn.
Now, what that tell you? What does that tell you?
That them beatings was getting to him.
Yeah, but it's about soaking up that game and making that impact. I love that live when he said it. I was like, oh man, I said this is definitely that influence right there. I said MVP is definitely going to do wonders for his career. I said, he got me caring about Lashley. And at first I was just like, you know, I'm like, okay, this is going to be trash, but he got me interested in Lashley and as a competitor. So he's going to help Cedric reach, you know, those new goals. And I'm happy that, you know, they let MVP getting a chance to do that with, you know, some a young wrestler of, I mean, Cesaro's not young by any means, but just by him being fresh in the company and then being around, and those other three been around for in the company for a long time, this would be helpful for him if he was to have a long career going forward.
I love it. As disappointed as I was in Bayley and Sasha, I was over the moon in the exact opposite.
Yes.
for this. He said MVP told him to his face that it's the hardest thing in the world to be a tag team partner with a guy who calls himself the one and only. What about him? And he says, Apollo, he says, why is he sacrificing himself for somebody else's title opportunity? Cedric tries to continue his promo, but he gets cut off by the Viking Raiders, and they're followed by Apollo Crews and Ricochet, and then the four men attack the Hurt Business, and they clear the ring. So that leads to an 8-man tag team match, the Viking Raiders, Ricochet, and Apollo Crews versus MVP, Bobby Lashley, Cedric Alexander, and Shelton Benjamin, the Hurt Business. Ivar sends Lashley into the ring, he hits the ropes, Ivar launches himself out of the ring with a suicide dive. Ricochet is back up. We get a 630 attempt. Cedric rolls out of the way. Make a new Motu driver from Cedric. And we get the pin for the 1, 2, 3. Ricochet kicked out, but the ref calls the pin anyway. Michael Cole confirms the pinfall after some confusion. We have medical personnel on the outside checking on Ivar. MVP is also laid out. Apparently what happened was when Ivar did that suicide dive, he like got a stinger or he jammed his back or something like that, his neck, somewhere in between his neck and his back. And so immediately when he hit the ground, he starts throwing up the X. Uh-huh. And I thought MVP was hurt, but now MVP was just laying there to make sure that he didn't move because like Ivar's neck was
right.
was laying on his legs. So he's like, if this man does have a serious neck injury, I'm not going to move and make it worse. Contrast in styles, because what happened was once Ivar got hurt, the message was called to end the match. The referee got it. Cedric got it, but Ricochet apparently didn't get it.
Right. He was like, he as soon as he went out, he landed, he threw that X up, and I said, oh, damn, that's that sign.
Yeah, and, man, there was another X that was thrown up over the weekend, too, but, yeah, it wasn't no match stop there.
And we got some controversy that was behind that too, but we ain't gonna talk about that.
Yeah, you have
that was controversial too.
You have to check out the dark match to hear what we think about that.
Because that on that one, somebody's wife was not too happy.
Yeah, so hopefully Ivar will be okay. Hopefully it was.
He did say it was like a stinger, and he said he would be all right. Yeah. Provide the update for the fans. I think like Tuesday he did that. So you know, so it's how that happens. You know.
Yeah, yeah. Unfortunate incident. Just you know, in the heat of the battle, big man like that flying through the air. I mean, it's amazing he doesn't.
We've been saying these big men should stop these sword out die because we was fearful for what happened to Big E.
Mm-hmm.
Cause he always do those suicide dives out the ring and everything.
Drew, he's apparently walking down the longest hallway ever. In comes Charlie to wonder why he's still here. Turns out Drew grabbed the wrong phone. Now we can't find the exit. But don't worry, he'll find his way out.
I'm telling you that Uber had some delays and. Yeah, I was like, man, I said this must be the biggest form of payback because this is the biggest form of payback that he's getting because, you know, Drew walking down the hallway, he's like, the mark got the wrong phone. I said, oh, this guy here. He said he's definitely getting payback.
Owens comes up to Shane backstage. Shane says that their differences are just water under the bridge. Owens wonders if it's that easy. Owens says he wishes he could say it's nice to see Shane, but he's still a jackass. I like how Kevin Owens does not
Rock. Yep. Storyline continue. keeping the story going. That's how you got to do it.
Randy Orton versus Keith Lee. Orton shoots and looks for an RKO. Keith Lee rejects Orton and escapes the move. Keith Lee hits a splash in the corner. He goes for a running elbow, then hits a lifting and spinning power slam, but he only gets a pin for a two count. There's a backside attempt, but then Orton hits Keith Lee with an RKO, and then we get a Claymore out of nowhere from Drew McIntyre.
The thing about this was Keith Lee countering the RKOs. Like the first thing, like you see the when he tries it, and Keith Lee just puts the stop on it, and Orton is like, the hell? What the hell's going on? Orton is like, what the hell is going on? I can't.
He's like, no.
He's like, that ain't supposed to happen.
Not happening, dog. Go ahead.
No, just saying, you know, this was the second one. I was like, that's two. I said, he came and caught that out of nowhere. I mean, that head just went flying.
Adam Pearce comes out to yell at Drew, telling him that he is putting himself at risk. Pearce tells the refs, go help Randy Orton. We head to Raw Underground. Aleister Black is kicking someone's head off. Kevin Owens is here. He rushes the ring. He shoots the legs. He mounts Aleister Black. He lands some punches. Black tries to work the leg. Owens stops him with a headlock, knees, and then we get some punches from Aleister Black in retaliation. We get a spine buster to Aleister Black. Kevin Owens drags him to the outside, then sends Aleister Black into the apron. We get a back body drop on the outside, and then we go to commercial break. As we come back, Orton tells Pierce that his word means nothing to Randy Orton. Now we have our first of two handicap matches, Shayna Baszler versus Ruby Riott and Liv Morgan. Shayna grabs Liv and tries for a Samoa drop. Instead, Liv rolls her up and gets the three count to defeat Shayna Baszler.
Now, if this was NXT Shayna Baszler, this would be unheard of.
Yeah, Liv would have been walking back with a nub.
Liv would have been got choked out within within 2 minutes of the match. That match starting, she didn't have her down in the cold shit clutch, and that would have been it. Now she getting rolled up and beat with the roll up pin. I don't think so. Not buying it. I understand you're trying to move the story along, but I'm not buying it.
Back to Raw Underground. Kevin Owens and Aleister Black are still going at it. Owens goes for a heel hook and then pulls back on the face to Aleister Black. Black kicks out of it and hits a knee strike. Kevin Owens mounts Aleister Black and he hits some punches. We get an armbar from Aleister Black, but Kevin Owens slides to the floor, then swings Black into a nearby wall. Aleister Black appears to be knocked out, but Kevin Owens brings him back up and he ends up getting kicked in the head. Owens punches some nearby dude and then another. Aleister Black fights off some jobbers as well. Now we have our second handicap match, Nia Jax versus Ruby Riott and Liv Morgan. Nia tries to do the wrist breaker thing that Shayna does, but Ruby rolls out of the way. Nia lifts her up, we get a tag to Liv, and the lights go in and out. We get a kick from Ruby to the face, Liv shoves Nia and then hits knees to the face, a cover for the 1-2, but the lights go out. And all of a sudden, we see Retribution coming up on the video screen all over, and then we get a video package from Retribution. They say the Thunderdome is just a facade. WWE left these guys to survive in an unfair world. They are left to feed on nothing but the scraps of contempt. They are driven to destroy and lay waste to every superstar and fan. Blinded, we cannot see what we do not have, so the locus of contempt will feed upon us all. The darkness of retribution will seep into the pores of every superstar and all of the WWE universe. They are retribution.
They said fans. Yeah, so it was some more speculation going around about who was being used, and a certain recently signed NXT superstar, women's superstar, was rumored to be a part of this. It's rumored to be a part of this as well, because she was in the group they was using for Monday night. So you never know, because like we hearing stories about you having this person in it, but then they're just using people rotating them out. But they have like a certain, it's like certain ones they already say that they are using who's going to be in Retribution going forward. But it was just, you know, so much going on with that.
That was definitely Donovan Dijakovic talking, though.
It was.
That was definitely him. Now, if he's going to actually be in it for sure, who knows? But yeah,
we haven't seen him. We haven't seen him on TV since he wrestled. Boy, yeah, we ain't seen him on TV since then. So
very highly possibility.
Haven't seen Vanessa Bourne. Haven't seen Chelsea Green. You know, we haven't seen him in a minute. Mia Yim, they said she's supposed to be in the group. But so we never know.
Yeah, she wrestled a couple of weeks ago, though, so they're trying to throw us off the scent with that one, I think.
Yeah, but you never know. But one group that we thought was going to be in it, and we find out that that's not been the case, AOP, they recently got their walking papers from WWE, and it's kind of disappointing. It's like what you said. Injuries, like I said, injuries will derail your career, but they had a great run on NXT. But then when it came to the main roster, that main roster jinx hit them hard.
Yeah, it's unfortunate for AOP. Just another group of guys who just didn't have the promo, man. If you know, it's a detriment in WWE to need a manager. Unless you can get somebody like an MVP or Paul Heyman. But if you're limited and you don't have one of those guys saying, hey, let me work with them, you're not going to go very far.
See, they had Seth, but the thing was, it was supposed to, from what I heard in the interview, Paul Ellering was supposed to come back to manage them, but COVID hit and it kind of derailed those plans.
Yeah, it was interesting what they had going on with Seth, them, Kevin Owens, Samoa Joe, Ray, Aleister Black. That was kind of like the little faction warfare that was
right in
the beginning. But then, you know, the virus hit, Samoa Joe got hurt, AOP got hurt, Samoa Joe got suspended. So, yeah, it's just a lot of things that stopped what could have been a pretty awesome program. And then, you know, once you get hurt in WWE, unless you have some tenure or you've established yourself as a, you know, major star somewhere else, not NXT, yeah, you're probably not going to be long for the company.
I mean, we see what happened with, we saw what happened with, what's the, when the Ascension got called up, they were stronger in NXT than they got thrown to the wayside when they got called up. Using mostly as enhancement talents, and then you know, look at, and then the only team that really had success coming up to the main roster was probably FTR.
Yep, and you see where they
are. Or the Revival. Yeah, I mean the Revival. Yeah, so it's exactly where they at. They got the hell out.
See, exactly what they did. They was like
they said hey, we can go elsewhere and get championship gold, and that's what they got.
Yeah, man. Yeah. It's just another unfortunate thing with Vince, man. He just at some point in his older age, he is just not a fan of tag team wrestling.
Right.
And it sucks because tag team wrestling is, when it's done really well, is usually one of the best two or three matches on a card.
Mm-hmm.
Consistently, and this has been like proven through time, not just it happens every once in a while. No, I mean, it happens more often than not, but here lately, these, you know, wrestlers and promotions aren't giving those guys a chance who are tag team specialists. So we come back to Raw Underground. Kevin Owens is kicking at the legs, and he mounts Aleister Black. Aleister Black tries again with the armbar, but Kevin Owens stomps Aleister Black. Hammer fist to the head. Aleister Black runs over, but he gets headbutted, and then he drops down. Kevin Owens is woozing himself. Aleister Black fakes a kick with the left, then he hits one with the right. Kevin Owens shoves Aleister Black, then he shoves that big dude. I can't even say his name. man. Because Kevin
Owens. Babatunde?
Yeah. No. Yeah. The light skinned Australian dude, New Zealand dude.
Yeah.
He saves that big dude, and then that big dude gets in a ring and he slams Kevin Owens down hard. Then Aleister Black tries to get on top of Kevin Owens, and then the big dude picks up Aleister Black and choke slams him down. And Kevin Owens is, I mean, Shane is like, that's it.
And, Daba Kato.
Yeah, there
Kato.
We go.
Is it Daba Kato or Kato? Someone
there
else too.
Daba, there we go.
But he's Polish.
Really?
Yeah, he's Polish. But he looks... He looks, you know.
yeah, definitely fooled me.
Yeah, he's Polish.
So, did you see the Kevin Owens Raw Talk interview?
I was just about to bring that up. Kevin Owens got on the top of the table and cut that spirited promo, and definitely was like.
He's like,
don't make a name off of me.
He's like, yeah, you're bigger than me. He's like, but that don't matter. He's like, because I'm gonna find you and I'm gonna fight you. It may not end up well, but that doesn't matter either because I'm a fighter. And I'll be back. And like he said, you won't make your name off of my back. So good stuff from Kevin Owens there.
Yes. That's the Kevin Owens that I like. I enjoy watching. It's cutting those promos. And he'll be like, you're not going to make your name off of me, and I'm still going to kick your ass.
Randy Orton is backstage holding his jaw. He's got his bag, and he's ready to leave. Charlie walks up to him, ready to ask him something, but Drew is here to attack him. He sends Randy Orton into the little nearby ring, then shoves his face into the turnbuckle. He rolls Orton into the backstage ring, claymore to Orton, and Randy Orton is the one taken away. And that's three. Yeah, it's the trifecta.
And I'm just saying, it's funny. Orton sitting there talking about, he should be getting protected and things like that. And I'm like, dude, you see what you did, and you was bragging about what you did to Drew, the past 2 weeks, and you thought. And now it happens to you. Them sneak attacks don't feel so good, bro.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So WWE letting the babyface come out on the offensive this week and get some get back. The former Drew McIntyre sending Randy Orton to the hospital in the ambulance. So now both of them, I guess, are going to have fractured jaws.
Yep.
Battle of the Campbell soup and Karo syrup.
Pretty much.
So we have Street Fight Dominic Mysterio versus Buddy Murphy. The Mysterios make their entrance to Ray's music with Ray, Dominic, and Ray's daughter all holding kendo sticks. Murphy locks up Dominic in the ropes like when they beat his ass with the kendo sticks a few weeks ago, but Dominic kicks at Murphy, then tries to escape. Dominic's sister and mom release Dom from the ropes while Ray Mysterio had the Murphy and the ref's attention. Dom slides through the bottom ropes and hits a sunset bomb through a table. That was pretty sick to Buddy Murphy. Dominic sends Buddy Murphy into the ring, hits a frog splash, but only gets a two count. Dominic then locks Buddy Murphy up in the ropes and he calls for his dad. Dom hits him with a kendo stick across the chest one time. Ray tells Seth he hope he's watching as he smacks Murphy across the chest one time. Then he tells Seth that payback is a bitch. Dom beats Murphy with some kendo stick shots. Ray gets some shots in, and then they're just trading off, going back and forth. Dominic takes off Murphy's shirt, and then Ray calls for his daughter and wife to come into the ring. So all four of the Mysterios are in. Ray's daughter is getting some shots in on Murphy in the stomach. Ray's wife says she can't do it, but eventually she does take the kendo stick and get some licks in on Buddy Murphy as well. The whole family is getting their licks in, and Buddy Murphy has to tap, and the ref calls for the bell. After the match, Ray's whole family is still beating
down. Still teeing off.
Buddy Murphy with the kendo sticks as we go off of the air. Seth Rollins, they were teeing off for that boy.
Nope. I guess Seth would say this is a sacrifice he had to make, but they was teeing off on that man.
Yeah, man. They was cracking, shellacking his tail, boy. Need to see his before and after pictures.
Right.
Like how they did Dominic a couple of weeks ago.
I said, that's what they call a receipt.
Yeah, for sure. Man, they beat the brakes off of Buddy Murphy, man.
That was just the closing image. That was the closing image. Just him getting beat with them kendo sticks.
Yeah, that job was rough, man. It's like, dang, Murphy, it sucks to be on the bad side of the Messiah, don't it?
Yeah, it does. And he ain't on the bad side of the Mysterio family, too.
He ain't have no help. Nobody wanted to come out there and save him. No, the refs didn't even come out there. Nothing.
No, he said, that's his fade to black.
No friends. All right, Mr. Mo to the underscore. So give me your assessment of this week's Monday Night Raw. Did you enjoy what they had to offer us this week?
Yeah, I enjoyed the show this week. Drew getting payback on Randy. That was great to see. Great, always good to see the face wrestler get to some comeuppance on the heel. Cedric doing the Hurt Business is good for business. And then they took the picture backstage, and I was like, this is Black excellence right here. Black excellence. And you know, it's kind of great to see when the Black wrestlers can get together and do something, and we get a nice photo op out of it. Like this is a moment in time right here. But yes, yeah, a good show. Still don't know what the hell they're doing with Retribution. They finally gave Retribution some branding, and they cut a promo and everything. So hopefully, I mean, I'm still not caring about it because it's just been going on for so long, and we just not getting anywhere. But they might be trying to go somewhere now with it.
Yeah, they need to go ahead and do what they're going to do with it, because like I said last week, it's starting to lose a lot of steam. They finally had them come out and cut that promo this week to at least announce themselves and kind of let everybody know what they're about, and so that's a start. But they need to do a lot more in the next coming weeks, or people are definitely going to be tuning out when it comes to Retribution. You know, I'm all about Cedric Alexander finally joining the Hurt Business, coming over to the stable. Now we got that fourth member. They are already, you know, starting to GQ it up when they're not in their matches. So I just love the direction that MVP is taking. The Hurt Business, can't wait to see next week when they come out there after they ain't got Cedric in the fold for a whole week and then indoctrinated him into the ways, and he's soaking up more and more game each and every day, what he's going to look like. Unfortunately, I had to watch Billy Kay and Peyton Royce wrestle each other. It's definitely a tough moment for me. Had to pour out a little bit for the memory of the Iconics. And very looking forward to Asuka versus Mickie James next week. Hopefully there's no shenanigans with somebody trying to run in there, like Natalya trying to get her a piece of the pie, that they actually let those two go out, have a great match, and then after the match, Lana and Natalya can try to better themselves and get themselves more into the mix. But I thought this was a very enjoyable Monday Night Raw as well. Can't complain, man. WWE, they've been putting together some strong shows here in the past two or three weeks. So I don't know what's going on in the writer's room, but they need to keep it up as long as they can.
But apparently, from what I've also been seeing coming through the stories and everything, actually Raw has fallen, from what they've been saying, Raw has fallen apart since Paul Heyman was let go.
The organization of it, I could see that, because I'm pretty sure Paul had a long-term story arcs in his mind that he was working towards, and then you just take him out of it altogether, and people have these long directions that they're probably set to go towards, and now you have somebody else with a whole different idea and thought process, and now you got to try to, you know, get on board with what he thinks and how he wants things done. So yeah, I can understand that it's been a long change of course when it comes to from what Paul Heyman wants to what Bruce Pritchard is overseeing.
And so when Paul Heyman getting like touched on SmackDown a little bit, Paul Heyman cut that promo and was like, "I was out, but he brought me back in." I said, "Oh boy, oh man!" And it's like the thing I know about Roman Reigns now. He was always talking about yards and things like that, but he's talking about islands now. So that's definitely some heel talk right there.
He embracing that Samoan heritage. They're running with it. Paul Heyman, perfect guy because of his history with the Samoan family, from the Wild Samoans, the original Wild Samoans, to the Samoan SWAT team in WCW. He's always had a connection with those guys and that family. So it's only right that Paul Heyman be the one to link up with Roman Reigns once Roman decided to venture over to this side of the tracks.
Yeah, basically it was like Roman said, Roman told Vince that he said, "Hey, I've been wanting to be heel for a long time. So you want me to come back? We're going to have to do this." And Vince, you know, back against the wall, gave in. So this is what we're getting.
I'm not mad at
it. I'm not mad at it either. I was like, hey. I said, let's go. And it just shows that, you know, they, like I said, if you watch some old FCW like clips from YouTube, this is what he was healed in, and he was really that smug individual and everything, you know. He was smugged in and everything. So basically this is him just going back to that going back down that way. And I was hoping when you did the parting promo that you would do Jimmy Jay Uso in there, his part in there at the end, but you didn't do that. So I was like, it was cool. No, because he was like, I make the family proud too. And he said, lockdown. And he was like, Roman Reigns, welcome. And he said, you know the rest. I was like, this is a change.
What do you feel about the matchup at Clash of Champions that's going to be the cousins wrestling each other?
You know what? I'm here for it, because you got to think about it. We never would have thought that this would be the result going into Clash of Champions. We never would have thought this would be our matchup, and I'm definitely I want to see what's going to happen. I want to see this match. Some people probably like, Jay Uso, why he got to do it? I'm like, listen, and I said, you see how Roman played it, talking about, you know, he didn't think he could do it on his own. So that's some kind of like heelish kind of talk right there too. So I was like, listen, I want to see this match. And I hope WWE don't try to pull no shenanigans or nothing like that.
You know, there's always a high probability of shenanigans.
Yeah, it is,
when it comes to WWE. But yeah, like you said, I'm looking forward to the match as well. You know, we were just talking about the Usos and how, you know, with Jimmy being hurt, Jay is just kind of out there with nothing to do. But now they figured out something to do with him, and hopefully he can take this opportunity to shine and show that, you know, he can be a capable singles wrestler and perform in a big, big, big stage. So this is going to be the biggest match he's ever wrestled in as far as a singles competitor. So this should be a lot of fun for him.
Definitely. I'm just waiting to see.
All right, Mr. Mo, to the underscore. Unless you want to talk about, since we had a little scheduling conflict, you want to talk about what you're watching on your screen, what's transpired tonight?
Reason why we had the scheduling conflict, because you wanted to see Adam Cole and Finn Balor. You wanted to watch that last night.
Man, I would have watched it today, but no, for real.
You ain't slick. You wanted to watch that. I understand. I wanted to watch it too, because that was a great match. That was a great match.
I would have just been like, yo, homie, let's record at 10. But no, I was ready to go. But
I'm messing with you. I mean, right now it's just, I don't know, right now it's just AEW, and you know, AEW's AEW.
Fallout from All Out and
there's Fallout and everything.
Yeah,
so. A couple fallouts. I mean, Kip Sabian's in there about the, I guess he's trying to reveal who his best man is. Yeah. But Brian Pillman Jr. just came out, so
Brian Pillman Jr. Very interesting addition to. I guess he's an addition to the roster. I guess.
I don't know. He took the pin in that match last week.
Right.
You know. So I don't know. He could be. He might be there, but they just haven't announced it. You know how AEW does.
Right. They just signed Tenera Conti. I saw that today.
Yeah.
That's good.
She has a match tonight, too, against Nyla Rose. So.
Oh, dang. Welcome to the Dark Order, huh?
Welcome to the Dark Order.
Dang.
Now, you know what? I like the Dark Order.
They growing on you?
They growing on me. I mean, I like, mainly because they're fighting on being the elite. They're real good on that, and Brody Lee being the leader for them, it's a good thing. So,
Mr. Brody Lee. All right, man. So at this point, I'll turn it over to you for your shout outs and thank yous.
Oh, hold the goddamn phone. Breaking news. You know who his best man is?
No clue, sir.
The husband of Lana.
Oh, word. Nice.
So if you want to hear more about this pair, you got to listen to, you got to get behind the paywall and listen to Don and Simi talk about this.
Oh, Mr. I'm done with wrestling.
We knew that was a lie. Oh, I'm so happy. I'm so happy. Okay, shout outs. Dawn, another week, another episode. We got it in the can. Jay to the Max, Semi, Sam, Gray, DD, miss you on these podcasts. I hope you're doing well. Mel, because Mel always gets shout outs. All our people who be tweeting with us each week, new faces are showing up. Thank you. We got to find a way to reach out and get more people in, but I'm glad to see new faces rolling with us. Shout out to my boy Word Explained. He's been rolling with us for a minute now. We always talk wrestling. He's a good dude. Glad he be in there with us. Who else? Everybody.
Everybody.
Yeah.
You know how we do.
Happy right now.
Like to give a shout out to Mo to the _ Reese for giving us that breaking news. As what's he going by? Miroff? What's his name?
He's going by Miro.
Yeah, Miro. Okay. AKA Rusev Day is back. That's going to be great. Maybe Adam Aiden English can hop over there to AEW. They can get that thing re-kicked back off again. But, big shout out to Mo to the _ Reese again. Big shout out to Miss Simi. Big shout out to Anwar Starwin, Jay to the Max. They all recorded episodes with me from Cast of Strong South, NXT Cast, and The Dark Match, and SmackDown Matters. Check out The Dark Match over on the Patreon page, patreon.com/CSPN Media. We'll have more about AEW All Out and the Dynamite with this new breaking news as well. Go over to cspn.us, click on the tab that says keep our podcast free, support our sponsors, keep the podcast free each and every week by doing some shopping through Amazon or any one of those other sponsors. We definitely appreciate it. And just give a big shout out to everybody else who joins us in the live tweets each and every week, all the Wrestle Bays, all the members of the Glow. We definitely appreciate y'all sharing y'all's commentary with color, always supporting the WrestleCast. Special shout out to Miss Jupiter Julep for giving us a shout out on a special guest appearance that she was on. Always thinking about us. So definitely appreciate her and always spreading the love about the CSPN.
So yes.
On that note, for my co-host, Mr. Mo to the _ Reese, I'm your host, Don DeLaRente. This has been the Rawcast. Please stay tuned for the parting promo.
tonight, I am so honored and excited to bring you a very special edition of the VIP Lounge. Because this young man has made a career-changing decision. He has decided to join the Hurt Business, ladies and gentlemen. Your life changes from this day forward. Ladies and gentlemen, the newest member of the Hurt Business, Cedric Alexander. Bobby, please, do the officials. See what it says on the back? Hold the back. I'm in. You're in. Now here's the question. Here's the question. It took you a real long time to come to your senses, but you finally have. I gotta know, what made the change?
I really wanna know what made the change.
Sheldon, I'ma keep it short and sweet for you. Instead of being on the business end of a beatdown every single week, Sheldon, I'd rather learn. And I'd rather earn. See, my wallet was going broke running around with Ricochet and Apollo. MVP, you told me. You told me to my face. It is the hardest thing in the world to be tag team partners with a man that calls himself the one and only? What about me? And Apollo Crews, why am I sacrificing my body, my career, for someone else's championship opportunities?